and my feet burned. And I was like, ow, 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 it's hot. And I was laughing. And I'm like, what? I've walked on fire. How is walking on cement hot? This is ridiculous. And I said, my feet are weak.
Yeah.
And I need to make them stronger. Mm. So I went and I researched and I learned all about, you know, barefoot running. Yeah. And for the next 3 months, I ran barefoot every day.
Okay.
And in the beginning, my feet bled and they cut open and it was horrible. But after a while, they got tough. And all of a sudden now, I can go run 5 miles barefoot, no problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's amazing. But it came from really, truly figuring out what I wanted, figuring out where I was, figuring out why it was important, gathering the resources and necessary to get there, you know, the right education and knowledge and tools, really putting it into an action plan, measuring and making sure I'm going in the right direction and fine-tuning, and then just believing it's going to work and going with it.
Yeah.
And it's a simple process to get there, but it was really truly that first step, though, of realizing, like, hey, I need to make this better.
Mm.
And so in this area, one way is to solve it really simply is get someone else to do it for you. That's an easy way.
Yeah.
Now, the way that's going to cause you to become more as a human being, to be able to give more to your clients, to grow your business, to have more certainty in who you are and what you do, and overall the better option would be to learn how to grow the muscle. And in learning how to grow the muscle, what I would look for in this area is say, okay, I love to give, you know, with my, and what I look for is first, my current way of doing it, what are all the benefits? And what are all the things that go right with doing it in this way? It helps people, it's fun, I feel alive, it makes me feel good, I really enjoy the process. And just go through it and be like, what are all the benefits? I would also spend time going through the process and saying, out of the process I do right now, what are all the current limitations?
Limitations.
Well, limitations is I don't make the money I think I should.
Yeah.
Limitations is I'm not reaching people at the deepest level because I'm not influencing them at the deepest level.
Mm.
You know, and you go down that list and say, what are the true limitations? And the next question would be, okay, how do we eliminate all, if not some, if not all of those limitations?
Yeah.
And as we go through it, this is where we got to get creative because it, you know, I don't know what the limitations are, but as we map those out, we can say, okay, if these are limitations, how do we break through them? If closing a sale is a limitation because it's uncomfortable, great, how do we break through that?
Mm.
If, and it might be as simple as putting together a very simple presentation that delivers tons of value to someone and leaves a giant gap for them to have to move forward if they want the rest.
Mm.
And that's normal. You still give them tons of value. You answered all their questions. And if they want that, you know, if there's four pieces, you give them piece one, piece two, piece three. And for that final fourth piece, that's where you have to sign up. And I'm telling you, without the fourth piece, the rest doesn't really add up to much. It's great. It's wonderful. It's amazing content. But the fourth piece is what makes it magical.
Yeah.
And the fourth piece is once you click that enroll now button.
Mm.
And that's what you do on a website. You just got to re-deliver the same presentation on the phone or in person with someone.
Okay. So you don't think there is a big problem about giving too much?
No, there's nothing wrong with giving too much.
Without
it's just
giving
realizing, and it's a different mode per se. It's wearing a different hat. When you're wearing a sales hat, that's a different hat than wearing, you know, the service delivery hat.
Okay.
It's just a different hat. It's okay. They both need to deliver value. They both need to make a difference. They both need the help, but they do it in different ways. And I learned this. I used to sell tickets for Tony's seminars all over.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is at the end of the seminar, people would come up and they go, wow, I don't have the money. And my, you know, I really need to go to this seminar. And I know it'll change my life, but I have no clue how to possibly put the $500 together. Oh, my goodness. And in my heart, I'd be like, man, I know how to help them. Like, I can't leave them like this. It's wrong. I have to help them.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of selling them a ticket to the seminar like I was supposed to, knowing that the seminar will help them, I would pull them aside and try to fix them right there in the room.
Okay.
Which was awesome because they'd be like, oh my God, you helped so much. Thank you so much. That was so amazing. You're so useful. You're so good, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I would leave and think about it and say, wow, did I really help them or did I really hurt them?
Oh. So
I helped them.
Yeah.
Because I told them the answer.
Mm.
I heard them because they didn't have to overcome anything to get the answer.
Oh.
They didn't have to grow. They didn't have to face a limiting story of themselves of I can't afford it.
Mm.
They didn't have to challenge themselves. They didn't have to stretch themselves.
Yeah.
They didn't have to get creative and resourceful and find a way to make something happen they really wanted.
Mm.
They didn't have to do anything. They just stood there and, you know, I felt bad. So I gave them the answer for free because I felt bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, me helping them is really me hurting them because it didn't cause them to learn anything.
Wow.
Bummer.
Yeah.
So, and I said, in actuality, when I was helping them, what was it really all about? And when I was honest, it was really about me proving to myself that I could and that I was good enough.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
In actuality, me helping them in that moment and not stretching them to cause them to expand and find a way and create a way and grow and do all the things we talk about was really just me being a crutch.
Mm.
I was like, wow, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Because even if they would have said, listen, I don't have $500, but I have $250. Can I use that as my down payment and find a way to come up with the rest between now and 30 days from now?
Yeah.
Now they're creative. Now they're working. Now they're stretching. Now they're resourceful.
Mm.
Even if I said, listen, I've got $10 to put down now, but I will find the rest. Can you please hold me a ticket? That's resourceful.
Mm.
But saying, here, let me just give you the answer without you doing anything, but because you're, you know, because you're so sad and hurt, let me just help you now.
Mm.
That doesn't do anything for them.
No.
It just makes me feel good, like, hey, I'm good enough to help.
Yeah. So what are you doing now when people come in and say they don't have any money or to the course?
Sure. So if someone came and they said, listen, I really want coaching with you, but I don't have the money.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, how are you going to pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't have the money. Great. So what do you have? What are your resources?
Yeah.
How are you going to use them?
Yeah. Good point. So you said you also have one time when you have it like I do, when you just want to give everything out. So how did you make it happen so you want to sell to people now?
Sure. And it's the difference of thinking I'm selling to them versus truly just giving to them.
Okay.
And what shifted was I always separated selling and giving.
Okay.
Because I always thought they were different. Selling is when I have something you want and there's a barrier and I'm not going to let you have it until you break the barrier.
Yeah.
Giving is I'm going to give to you whether you deserve it or not, whether you've earned it or not, whether you pay for it or not. I'm just going to give it because I want to give it.
Yeah.
Here's what I figured out.
Mm.
You don't always have to charge for what you love to give. I met a lady in New York City. She came to one of my seminars.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her and she said, listen, I'm an energy healer. I don't charge people for my energy healing because it's not right to do so. Everyone deserves to get it. So I just give it away for free.
Okay.
And she says, but my frustration is I want to make it my business.
Mm.
And I said, pause right there. Here's the illusion a lot of us have. The illusion a lot of us have is our passion has to be the way that we make money.
Mm.
It can be the way we make money, but it doesn't have to be the way we make money. So one thing is decide. If you want to charge people and make money by giving them this service, do it. If you don't, don't. And she looked at me really confused.
Yeah.
And she says, then how do I make money if I don't charge for it?
Yeah.
I said, go learn how to make money other ways. And she's like, they get a job? I said, no.
Yeah.
Learn how to creatively make money in other ways so that you make money doing other stuff and you do your passion just to do your passion.
Wow.
And she looked at me really weird and she's like, you can do that? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And what was funny is she came back to a seminar 4 or 5 months later.
Yeah.
And she stood up and she says, I just wanted to thank you for the advice you gave me 5 months ago. And I said, what happened since?
Yeah.
She said, stopped struggling, trying to charge people for energy healing when it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
I gave away my energy healing for free.
Yeah.
And I learned how to do stock trading. And I said, okay, how's that working? She's like, I made $40,000 in the last 2 months.
So what does she sell, to, did you say?
Stock trading. So she trades stocks online, digitally. Oh,
okay.
And I was like, really? Do you know anything about it? And she's like, no. I pray about it, and I just feel guided, and I allow my spirit to guide me to the right stocks, and I buy them and sell them as my intuition tells me. Yeah. And she's like, it's really weird. It's made me $40,000 in the last 2 months.
Wow.
And I looked at everyone in the room, and I said, listen, that is gambling. Everyone laughed. I said, there's a very big chance she can lose $40,000 as fast as she made it, so I do not recommend this option.
Yeah.
Yet, let's please give her a round of applause for getting resourceful and finding a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
Because she created a whole new paradigm. The paradigm was, I don't have to charge for what I love to give.
Yeah.
I can give what I love to give and make money in other places.
That is a good advice.
Yeah. So the decision becomes, if you want to make money doing what you do,
yeah,
do it. And figure out a presentation and put it all together in a way that naturally and abundantly causes you to enroll clients.
Mm.
And it's just part of the presentation. Because when you put together the right presentation in the right sequence, it will naturally cause someone to want to enroll.
Yeah.
You know, a big one that I do a lot when we enroll clients is really simply, I say, listen, they'll come to me and they'll say, listen, I don't know what my passion is, but I want to be able to live my passion and get paid to do it. I say, no problem whatsoever. There's three steps to figure it out. Step one, I want you to write down all the words that describe your passion, what you feel that you're put to do on this planet. Like joy, love, passion, possibilities, excitement, curiosity, certainty, groundedness, creativity, whatever words describe what you feel you're here to do, write all of them down. Now, once you have every word that you feel describes your mission and purpose, circle the top 5 to 10. Once you have the top 5 to 10, that finishes step one, and now we go to step two. And in step two, what we're going to be talking about are the vehicles you can use to take that mission from you to the world. And there's lots of them. Singing, dancing, cooking, writing, teaching, learning, yoga, photography, surfing, anything. What are the vehicles that make you feel most alive, that you love to do, that will naturally take your vision from within you out to the world and pay it forward to everyone around you? Now, once we identify the top 5 to 10 vehicles we can use, the options we can use, we're going to start making, which is step three, a game plan to how to write a business around it, how to monetize it, how to build a platform and a community around it, how to ensure that you're going to, you know, have an intelligent financial system around it. All those different elements. But that's the game plan, and that's what we do in coaching. But those are the three steps you need if you want to turn your passion into a business.
That is a very good advice.
But what's interesting is in those three steps, that's a sales presentation.
Yeah.
Because step one is very clear and easy. Step two is very clear and easy. And step three requires signing up to get it.
Oh. Yeah.
But did it feel like a sales presentation?
Oh, no. I can see the point.
So it might be just crafting your presentation in a way that naturally would say, listen, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three, and step four, here's what we do, but that's what happens once we work together.
Yeah.
And that's all. And people are like, wow, that's so amazing. It made, oh, wow, let me take notes. This is so incredible. Wow, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, wow, you know, I really need to do this. And the next question will always be, so how much does it cost to work with you? And you go, oh, I'm so glad you asked. We have three packages.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Now they're asking, you're not pitching.
Yeah. That's a good way to do it.
And it was effortless, and it's easy, and it's part of your standard presentation, and it's part of the conversation naturally that you're having. The thought process is, you know, if you were hungry, and I don't eat pizza, but if you ate pizza and you were hungry, and I came over and I said, oh my gosh, you know, let's sit down together. You said, Jarek, I'm really hungry. And I said, oh my gosh, I've got the greatest thing for you. You know, and it comes in this box and it's amazing with nutrients and it has all these amazing qualities. And, you know, here, let me open it up. Let me show you what it smells like. Doesn't it smell so good? And, you know, let me even break off a little sample. This is what it tastes like. And you're like, wow, that really tastes amazing. I'm like, I know, it's so incredible. Yeah. You know, and man, you get this whole piece of it for a really discounted price. It's incredible. Yeah. And then I shut the box, set it down, and say, so, would you like some?
Yeah.
You're like, yes, give it to me. No problem. Where's your credit card?
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
Yeah.
I can. And you're like, how much? Doesn't matter. It's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I want it, but it can't be more than this. It's not more than that. Okay, let's do it. Perfect. Yeah. Here it is.
So it's like a small taste of what you are giving.
Yeah. But you're still giving.
Yeah.
You know, because without that presentation, they would have never gotten to taste pizza.
Yeah.
Now they know what pizza tastes like. They're like, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
That's true. That I have never thought about it that way. That that is a good point.
So it's adjusting the psychology around it to the point where it feels good. It's like, yeah, my job is to get people to taste something they've never tasted before.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good way. Yeah, you are right. It's only about psychology because it's your mind that says something else. And that was a very good point.
Yeah. So in shifting that, the biggest thing is it's taking some time to rework the old limiting beliefs around it, but it's also coming up with a new strategy and game plan to help you put it together in a way that's effortless to present to people.
Yeah.
Because when you think you're selling, you act differently, the biochemistry of your body reacts differently, you get nervous. Your pupils change, the tension in your face changes, you sit differently, the tone of your voice changes, and then people feel weird and awkward and they don't want to buy anything because they don't know why, but they're uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It happens to all of us.
Wow.
So you feel like you're just giving a gift and you're just walking them naturally through the process?
Of course.
You feel totally natural, calm, and collected, and so do they. And it just feels natural to do the next step.
In Denmark, we say, I'm just, yeah, I'm also glad. I'm very happy. It's just, it was just, yeah, that's actually that. It's just psychologies. I think it's, it was just something people never talk about, that that scary is something that's just about in your head.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it just takes really identifying what it is that whatever the belief or whatever the psychology is that's holding you back, figuring out, you know, what's been the benefit in the past, figuring out what the cost and consequences of currently having it, and then rewriting it and saying, okay, that's the old, you know, belief that's held me back. What's the new belief I need about this?
Yeah.
Belief is it's giving people a taste of something they've never tasted before. The new belief is it's helping people become more resourceful. It's helping people grow into more of what they're capable of. It's helping them define more of who they are. It's the biggest gift you could ever give someone, because with this gift, they can do anything. And you come up with so many reasons of why this is such an amazing gift and opportunity.
Yeah.
That then when you share it with them, it feels like the greatest thing you could ever give them.
That's true.
Now, what's fun is you look forward to going through the sales process with someone, because you're like, oh my gosh, it's so great. Like, this is the greatest gift I could ever give them. It does everything. Like, it's helping them see something they've never even seen before. What better gift could you ever give anybody? This is it.
It's so true.
Now we you know, we talk a month later and we say, how are your sales? And you're like, oh my God, everyone's signing up.
Yeah.
They all love pizza.
Yeah, they all love pizza. Yeah. I think I think it's just the secret. I didn't know that. That you just have to think at that way.
Yep. That I actually have friends who, the guys who trained me in this.
Yeah.
Their website is Influenceology.
Influence what?
Correct.
Oh, thank you.
Let me check it real quick. These are the guys who trained me.
Oh, it's good to know. So I can study more about it, because it's crazy that you can have a blog about just want to help people and so don't want to earn anything about them. Thank you, influencer. I think it was amazing. I have it with this. I just want to share it with anyone.
Yep. And the way that they teach how to sell is through storytelling.
Oh.
So that you just tell a story, but by telling your story, they call it a Trojan horse. So the Trojan horse was, they gave this gift and they wheeled the gift and everyone's like, wow, what a great gift. But in the middle of the night, all the warriors came out of it and killed the whole castle.
Yeah.
And it's the same thought process of what is the Trojan horse in a sales presentation? Mm-hmm. And the Trojan horse is learning how to tell stories. Because when you tell a story, people put their guard down. People don't feel like they're being sold. People don't feel like you're trying to get something out of them. All you're doing is simply telling them a story.
That's correctly. That's
so it's learning how to tell the right stories that make up your presentation. But by the end of telling your stories, it naturally causes people to want to sign up.
Yeah.
A really silly story that he opened. I just went and saw him speak one more time. And he wanted his first story in his presentation was setting up the presentation. Mm. And so he says, listen, he goes, instead of hi, good morning, hello, my name's Roberto, welcome, none of that. He walked up on stage and he said, so there's a cat and there's a rat.
Mm.
And there's a rat in a hole staring out at a piece of cheese. And there's a cat outside of the hole waiting for the rat to come out. And the rat's sitting there thinking, and he keeps hearing the cat go, meow, meow. And the rat shakes his head and he goes, there's no way I'm going out there because that cat is going to get me. So he just sits there and waits. And it goes by, meow, meow, meow. And then about a couple hours later, all of a sudden he hears this new noise. It goes, woof, 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 woof. And he goes, wait a second, what's that? The dog. Oh, if the dog's around, that means the cat leaves. But he waited because he says, you know, it might not be all the way over here. And he heard it get closer.
Mm.
Woof, 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 woof. And all of a sudden, he didn't hear the meow anymore. He just heard the woof. And so he goes, aha, now it's time for me to go get my cheese. So he took off in a full sprint out of his hole towards the cheese. And three steps out of the hole, wham, the cat got him. And he's pinned to the ground and the cat's licking his lips, staring at him. And he goes, you tricked me. How did you do that? You tricked me.
Yeah.
And the cat looked at him and said, in today's market, things are tough. If you don't learn a second language, you're screwed.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
And it's silly. It's a joke. But what's interesting is it's a joke that by telling you the story, set up the entire presentation. Because the point of the story was, if you don't learn new tricks, if you don't learn something new right now in this market, you're screwed in business.
Yeah.
He was priming his audience through telling a story without ever saying that to them.
Wow.
All through just telling a stupid joke story about a cat and a rat.
Yeah. And you remember it. And then it's a good story to tell to anyone else.
Yep.
Wow.
And so what's interesting is he got his point across without ever having to tell his point. And he went through the whole rest of his presentation just telling stories. And by the end of his presentation, when he was done telling stories, a bunch of people stood up and signed up for his $1,000 workshop.
Wow.
And all he did was tell stories.
Huh.
But the stories were perfectly designed to sell, give them a taste of the pizza, make them smell the pizza, make them see how important the pizza is.
Yeah.
And by the end of the presentation, let them know if that they want the pizza, all they have to do is sign the form.
Mm.
And it worked.
It's amazing. I hope.
Then,
yeah.
So that's something I always share with people, especially in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Because it's really important, in especially if sales is uncomfortable, to just find your strategy. And that's one strategy, obviously, is learning storytellings. But it's figuring out what strategy works best for you so that you can best reach your audience and convert them into clients and members with you.
I think the story, that is a good way to just feel comfortable, feel nice to your audience. So that's a good way.
Yeah. And again, telling them a story doesn't feel like you're selling.
Yeah.
You're just telling them a story.
Oh, it's just like, ah, I don't have to sell. I just have to tell stories.
You don't have to sell. You just have to give them the taste of a pizza. Yeah. You just have to tell them stories.
I promise I will. I will read everything about stories now.
So what's fun is in just a few minutes we've already come up with two new strategies.
Yeah.
So the fun part about this is now getting creative and coming up with your own list of strategies. This is, hey, I can just give them a taste of the pizza. I can just tell them a story. There's dozens, if not hundreds, of other options on how to enroll somebody.
Yeah.
But I would spend time getting creative and making new analogies and new beliefs around very easy ways to just share your message with people and allow them to want to sign up with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm sorry that you cannot see my smile because I'm just smiling up in my face very big. And now I just want to learn everything about storytelling so I can just get my message out in a good way. They're not annoying selling, feeling like selling.
So because you're no longer selling at that point. All you're doing is telling stories and giving them a taste of what you have, so much so that they want more.
I know you. I have seen a lot of your videos, so I know that you are the real deal. But I'm just very impressed. I am very very happy that I actually just I can sit down and just be relaxed about selling. It's a bit big thing. So I'm very, very happy. I just have one question for you.
Sure.
Why do you don't make webinars?
As far as webinars, we've used them in the past.
Yeah.
And we didn't quite find the right time to get the amount of people we needed on the webinar on.
Okay.
And so we kept having, you know, we kept taking all this time and all this energy and all this effort to maybe get 10 people to show up.
True? Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh. And maybe it was the wrong time. Maybe we didn't have the right marketing. We didn't know. But yeah. It kept being the same 10 people.
Wow.
So it was funny. We did like 4 of them, and every time the same 10 people would show up. And we were like, okay, you know, it's 4 a.m. your time. And they're like, I know, but I wouldn't miss it for anything. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
And so what we thought about is, you said, what's a way we could reach more people without us having to be somewhere as well, time constraint-wise? So that's why we started doing the weekly video show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And what's interesting is in the weekly video show, now we're reaching thousands and thousands of people.
I knew, yeah. It's
and, cute. You know, we just have to film it once a week and put it up.
Yeah. It's also
it's actually really cool. And now our email goes out once a week consistently. The videos come in. The whole process is working really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just a process now that's in motion versus before it was really tricky because it was always trying to like set up a time, set up a date, market, hope that people show up.
Yeah.
And it was just easier to put it into like an evergreen process that's just naturally out there all the time. So what we did is we recorded one of our webinars and we just put it up as a video online for free for anybody.
Okay. Yeah, that is also a good way to do it because then...
So that way, anytime anybody can ever come, they can always go through a 30-minute, you know, I think it's a 30-minute free webinar with me, basically.